Good morning, honourable members.
Morning, Mr. Chair.
Morning. Morning, honourable members. My apologies for being late after requesting that we change time. Technology is messing me out. I'm using my phone. I don't know whether you'll be able to see my face. I'm here. Yeah, I think you can see me. In welcoming everybody that is here, I don't want to waste our time. I think Mr. Sakaza will take us through the roll call, and he will then flout the agenda after we've done all the introductions that are necessary.
Recording in progress.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Sakaza.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to all the members. Am I audible, Chair, first?
Yes, you are. Loud and clear.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, today we have the following members of the Portfolio Committee on Labour. Chair, Honourable Dunja, Honourable Volmaran, Honourable Zabe, Honourable Inana, Honourable Bagram, Honourable Kado, Honourable Mkondo, Honourable Ngobo. I received an apology from Honourable Mawes by elections. And also, Chair, I've received an apology from the Minister and Deputy. That's all for now, Chair, from the Portfolio Committee and from the support staff. We've got myself, we've got Koshia, we've got Sibong Seningoma. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sakaza.
Chair, I see Honourable Makubele just joining, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Can we get from the department?
Recording.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and the Honourable Members. We're here with the, obviously myself, the DG of the department, Mr. Thembinkosi Mkhaliphi, who is the acting DDG Labour Market Policy, Ms. Esther Twane, was representing Mr. Sam Rotoba, is out of the country. We have the DDG Corporate Services, Ms. Bahumi Matebesi, who's gonna be running the presentation, Chair for a Change. We have Ms. Marsha Bronkhorst, who's the COO of the department. We have Mr. Becky Maduna, who's the CFO of the department. We have Ms. Malebo Sibaka, who's the CFO of the supported employment enterprises. We decided that we would invite the heads of the department in the 9 provinces. We have the newly appointed head of the province in KZN, Mr. Edward Kambule. We have Mr. Mawele Ntamo from the Western Cape. We have Ms. Nomfundo Taujek from the Eastern Cape. We have Mr. Paswane Tladi from Limpopo. We have a newly appointed head of the province in Northwest, Mr. Peto Siengo. We have Mr. Tsepo Mukomatsidi. We have Zolile Albani in the Northern Cape. We have Ms. Margaret Mazibuko in Mpumalanga. I don't see the CDPO from Free State, Emily, but she's supposed to be on the line. We also have the Chief Communication Officer of the department, Mr. Teboho Tejane, and we have the Chief of Staff in the Minister's Office, Mr. Mutumela, and we have trying to check here, others use their phones. We have Matapelo from my office. She'll be running the presentations. Chair, those are the ones that we have. If there's a need to add, I will do so at a later stage. Thank you very much, Chair. Oh, sorry, we have Mr. Wababa. How can I forget the Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Mr. Thando Wababa? Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DG. Can I check with Mr. Wababa if we do, are there any guests that have logged in?
Good morning, Chair, and good... Oh.
Okay. All right, you may speak. I don't know who wanted to speak. So we don't have guests. You know, there's one thing that I really don't understand since we started these virtual meetings. Guests introduce themselves in our meetings. I don't know why all of a sudden people decide not to. And if people are refusing to tell us who they are, I will instruct the secretariat to take them out, because we can't be seated in a meeting, in our meeting, with people whom we don't know. That we are in virtual meetings doesn't mean that the procedures and the protocols that we followed when we were physical are now to be undermined. Having said that, I think we, honorable members, you'll understand that we were concerned when we were given the quarterly reports and all other reports in terms of the vacancy rate in the Department of Employment and Labor, with an understanding that Department of Employment and Labor is not only the head office. I'm happy that heads of provinces are here, because at the end of the day, DEL has got no concurrent function. It's the Department of Employment and Labor. It's got national competence, and which then provinces are part of that. And it's about time that provinces, heads of provinces, account on whatever, on issues that are making us uncomfortable, because offices, service delivery is at a provincial level. So that's why that they are here. And I hope that you have informed them that they are going to respond on questions that are then going to be asked by members. So that they understand that as much as the buck stops with you in terms of the authority of in administration, but work is where they are. Offices of labor are where they are. People have been complaining to us on a number of things. But what we are here for today, members were concerned about vacancy rate. And we're of the understanding that it is this department that is to lead by example in terms of ensuring that posts are being filled. We do understand, and I do understand that everybody knows that the Department of Employment and Labor is to create a conducive environment in ensuring that employment, the departments in particular, if their vacancy rates are low or or they are not there at all. And therefore, it is quite a bit disturbing that we have got vacancy rates in this, and more and above in this department is that those are funded posts, vacant funded posts. So provinces are to tell us why. Why is it difficult when a post is funded? Having said that, I didn't hear any apology from the executive authority, DG. It's the first time that they are both not here and we don't have any explanation or apology from their offices.
Thank you, Chair. I think Zolani did indicate that he received the apology for the Deputy Minister and the Minister. Yes, he did. So the Minister is in Cabinet, and I think this probably is the last Cabinet meeting for the year.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. Having said that, I think our agenda, Mr. Sakaza, is it possible for you to?
Okay, Chair, I'm gonna flight it now, Chair.
And we welcome the provincial leaders that are here. I don't want them to even say that. We didn't even welcome them. You are welcome. You are empowered to understand at an appropriate time. How we do things is that we're going to allow the department to take us through. After that, the presentation, members are going to ask questions. Then when we are done with that, there is a time that the department is to respond. So when questions are asked, please have your pen and paper, jot that down, because there will be questions. I will assume there will be questions that will be directed to provinces by members. But even if there are no questions directed to provinces, the DG will indicate which province will respond on a particular question that will then be asked by members. Having said that, that is the agenda, members. Two is the briefing by the executive authority on the accounting office and the accounting officer on HR challenges affecting the filling of posts, and then our minutes. But we'll start with that, then we'll come to our minutes when we have released them. Over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Chair, and the honourable members. Chair, I'm going to ask the DDG responsible for corporate services, Ms. Mahumi Matebesi, to take us through, Chair. Thank you very much. Over to you, DDG.
Is he around? What's the?
I put on the video, but I forgot to unmute. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you so much. And good morning to the honorable members and the Chairperson. And good morning to the DG and my colleagues. Can we have the presentation slided? I'm just going to switch off the video. Something disturbing me on the screen. I'll switch off the video, Chairperson, if you want me to.
No, it's fine.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much. Okay, the presentation is about the request from the Portfolio Committee that we provide the vacancy report and the challenges that we face as a department in filling the find that vacant positions, as the chairperson mentioned earlier. Can we go to the second slide? And we came up with a table of contents, which will start with introduction, the Department of Employment and Labor Infrastructure, the current policies and systems that guide us in recruitment and selection processes, and the generic challenges and interventions that we've employed as a department to deal with the challenge of filling of vacant positions, age analysis of the vacancies between the period May to November 2022, and this has been broken down in terms of different offices, provincial offices and head office. And the sixth one is the consequence management on failure to comply with the filling of vacant funded posts and the way forward. Can go to the next slide. By way of introduction, the department's corporate services is there to provide support to different units within the department and also to make sure that there's smooth service delivery within the core business and the provinces. And what CS Corporate Services does is to provide human resources, largely tools of trade and other administrative services. Now, among the above, the critical services that we render as corporate services within the department is sourcing of human resources to deliver services and ensure capacity which is sufficient to run the different units. And this process is governed by a transparent and fair process as defined by the DPSA prescripts. And I was also requested to just outline the process of recruitment and selection for the members to understand what it entails. Now, I started by indicating where the process starts. The process starts from a post being vacant and the responsible manager having to send a request to HRM for the post to be advertised. Now we've got HRM units also in the provinces. We also have HRM units within the two funds, the CF and the UIF. Now what HRM does when they receive the request to advertise, they will then confirm the existence of the post and ensure that the post is indeed funded. It's just a control that we do so that we don't go ahead and advertise a post and later on realize that the post is actually not funded. And this could be because of certain instances where managers are abolishing posts in order to create other posts where there are needs. After the confirmation has been made by HRM, the vacant posts are then sent, the advertising request is then sent to the DPSA for advertising. So we send the DPSA in a week, this week, and then DPSA takes 2 weeks to put the advert on the circular. The period for advertising is in total a period of 3 weeks. And then once the post is closed for application, the HRM unit then continues with the capturing of the electronically submitted applications. And you'll find that the trends are that when the closing date is on a certain date, let's say the 20th of November, then you get a new flux of applications on that date. But as and when the applications come before the closing date, they are then captured by the HRM unit to come up with a long list of applicants and all their credentials, their qualifications, number of years of experience, all the requirements that have been outlined on the advert. And then while the HRM is busy with the capturing, there's also another process that kicks in. It's the request for nomination of an appointment of an RNS, recruitment and selection panel, by a delegated authority. And the delegated authority is normally anybody who's been delegated to do this. It could be a provincial head, it could be a chief director within a unit, it could be a DDG, it could be the DG, depending on the level of the position. And once the panel members have been appointed, they are then notified by HRM, and the chairperson who's been nominated by the delegated authority will then be requested to provide a date for shortlisting. And then the panel will sit for shortlisting process on the agreed date by all the members. And HRM will then sit in the meeting to provide technical advice and support, as well as taking of the minutes of the meeting, and providing that insight into issues like employment equity targets and so forth. And once the shortlisting has been completed by the panel, HRM then prepares and submits a request to the delegated authority, the same one, to approve the shortlisted candidates. And on receipt of the approval of the shortlisted candidates, then the names are sent for security screening that involves, among other things, ITC records, criminal records, qualifications, and this is done by our security unit. Go to the next slide. And then HRM unit then requests from the chairperson of the panel a date for the interview after the shortlisting has been done and approved. Then HRM will notify the candidates, and they are given 5 days' notice to prepare for the interviews. Once the interviews have been conducted, the selection panel has made an appointment of the preferred candidate. And in most instances, we prefer to have a second best candidate in case the first one does not take up the offer. And then the HRM prepares yet another submission for the delegated authority to approve the appointment and sign off the letter of appointment and regret letters for those that were not successful. If the post is a lower post, lower than SMS, the candidates will be given an appointment letter. And normally you'll find if a person is from outside, they'll have to serve 1 month period notice where they're working before they start on the new job at the department. Or if it's internal, then there might be an arrangement between the units that this person will start on the new job maybe after 2 weeks, or that's just subject to agreement between the prospective employee and the new manager and where they're working currently. If the post is SMS, it's on SMS level. There's some distraction on my screen, Chairperson. I don't know what's going on. Okay, if the post is on SMS level, the HRM unit will then start the procuring of services, which is supposed to do competency assessment for the candidate that has been selected. And the SCM process then kickstarts the competency assessment, identification of the company that will provide the competency assessment for the candidate that has been selected as the best candidate. And normally we send only one candidate, but at that stage, we don't inform the candidate that they are successful. They know that it's a process of leading to the appointment, but they are not aware that they've been selected as the best candidate as yet. Once the test results are out, then HRM unit then will prepare another submission to the delegated authority to approve the appointment of the candidate with an attachment of the results from the competency assessment and the other relevant documents that will be necessary for the delegated authority to make and apply their mind in appointing the successful candidate and sign the appointment letter. Go to the next slide. Next slide, please. Okay, and then the second part is the Dell infrastructure. The department is made up of 5 programs: corporate services, IES, public employment services, and labor policy and industrial relations. And the UIF and CF are part of the Dell, in that all the officials that are within these 2 funds are considered to be employees of the Department of Labor, but they are not funded by the National Revenue Fund. Now, the National Treasury has advised us that when we report on the vacancy rate, we should exclude the UIF and the CF because they are not funded by the vote of the Department of Employment and Labor. So what we do is that we exclude all the posts that are 100% funded by the UIF and CF at both head office and the provinces. So we started doing that from the month of September. Then the quarterly reports on the APP, the annual performance plan, also excludes the UIF and CF for the purposes cited above. And the DEL has 9 provincial offices with a total of 125 labor centers across the country that are serviced by the provincial offices. I think also for the information of the members, the total posts at the Department of Labor, including the UIF and CF, is sitting at on the total establishment, it's 9,995. These are all the funded posts. And then if we exclude UIF and CF, we've got 5,573 positions that exclude 100% UIF and CF. And then the RNS, the recruitment and selection process, is a decentralized function to ease, just go back a bit. Yes, the recruitment and selection process is a decentralized function, meaning that the heads of the provinces are responsible for the RNS process within their area of control, as they also have their own HRM units, while headquarters HRM services all the head office branches. And the UIF and CF also have their own fully fledged HRM units that run with the HRM support. All the branches of the department are present in all labor centers and the provincial offices. The provincial office acts as the headquarters of the province and provides oversight role at the provincial level, including the recruitment and selection process support. Can go to the next slide. And the current policies and systems that guide the recruitment and selection process are governed by the DPSA prescripts. We've got internal policies on recruitment and selection, which are also aligned to the overarching DPSA Act and the Public Service Regulation. And the department has also developed and approved an internal policy on RNS, and it has got standard operating procedures that govern the steps of how, what are the activities that need to be taken up to make sure that you appoint or you fill a vacant post. And the standard operating procedures also provide to the last detail the roles and responsibilities as well as the timelines for each activity during the RNS process. The policy, this policy has been there all along, and it's amended and changed as and when there's a need to do so. And the DPSA requires that all posts that are vacant must be filled within 6 months, while the department has set itself a target of 4 months to fill positions. While we have not been adhering to this 4 months turnaround time that we set ourselves, and I guess we ended up having a practice of being tolerant to 6 months, hence the issue of looking at which posts are older than 6 months or older than 12 months became our yardstick in measuring performance on the age analysis of the positions. And the DPSA has set a vacancy rate of 9.9% across the board, but we set ourselves a target in this financial year, 22-23, at 8%, and it does seem attainable if we were to look at the current trends as of this quarter, as of November. We were at 8.44% and going towards 7.9%. So I have got no doubt that we will attain this by the end of the financial year. The current instruments that guide the recruitment and selection process are relevant for now, as they emphasize on the turnaround times, fairness and transparency, and also emphasize on the ethical behavior by panel members during the RNS process, where everyone has to declare any relationship, if they know anyone, even if it's a colleague, you mention that you know the person because you work together, or you know a person because you know each other from wherever you know each other. And then general challenges and interventions that we've employed. We do have challenges during this process of RNS, and mainly the one which is double-edged sword is the internal promotions within the department which sometimes make it seem as if posts are not filled, because the net effect is that once you fill a position internally, then that person moves on to a higher position, and the position that they were in originally gets becomes vacant. And this is because the department also wants to appreciate and retain talent, which is internal, by making internal promotions. Now, the key point is that as soon as promotions are made, or it is known that an official will be going on retirement, the managers should start the recruitment and selection process without delay, so that a new appointment is made within the stipulated period. The other reasons of which are related to capacity within HRM, but we decided at EXCO that, as a department, that we will make use of our employment services system, that we will create a link on the adverts that are on the positions level 1 to 8, where applicants will click on a link on the advert, and then it takes them straight to ESSA, and then ESSA will do programmatically, they will do the matching and selection and pre-shortlisting of the candidates that meet the requirements of the position. This also will alleviate the pressure on the HRM operational teams. And this was done in the past, and it was seen to be very effective in reducing the overload on HRM unit. And also the department has made, for the longest time, made a vacancy rate reporting a constant feature on the agenda of all governance structures of the department. For example, it's an agenda item at EXCO Audit Committee, Ministers Committee, and the monthly reporting to National Treasury on a very minute detail to National Treasury, because what they want is they want to see a position that is vacant. How long has it been vacant? What is the reason for it not to be filled? Where's the status of filling that position? So it's a quite extensive exercise and information that we provide to Treasury on a monthly basis. And then headquarters also tracks the filling of posts within the provinces on a weekly basis. And at certain times, we've got challenges like where you get a candidate, you go on with the process, you finish everything, you give them a letter, and they turn down the offer. And some could be due to so many other reasons. Others could have been looking for jobs elsewhere. And while we are busy recruiting, interviewing them, then they get an offer which looks more attractive than our offer. And other times, for example, under number 5, is instances where a person gets appointed in, I'll give an example of Kimberley, for example, and a person doesn't want to go to Kimberley because Gauteng is a more attractive place to be, and then they would rather choose Gauteng or against Kimberley rather than going to Kimberley. Or they will go to Kimberley, and then within a short period, they want to be transferred elsewhere, and they leave that gap in the provinces that are not the most attractive. And okay, the last one on number 5, it's also the point where the challenge could be the post basic requirements need to be reviewed to make them relevant and are able to attract the targeted candidates, because this is where we advertise a position. And we advertise, and then we sit down for shortlisting. When we shortlist, we don't find, especially the technical, the highly technical positions, it's not easy for us to find the most suitable candidates. And then we go back to the market and then advertise, and maybe second time again, we still don't find a suitable candidate. In those instances, time is going, yes, and there's a vacant post, maybe it's already 7-8 months old, and then the last option would be for us to go through, because the policy does allow us to do that, to do a headhunting exercise where we then target certain individuals. But it's a fair process and transparent, because we then target individuals and then we bring them back to compete in an interview process. Let's go to the next one. Okay, these are the trends between April to November. I think we can see that from April, we were lurking around 9.6, 9.7, it was up and down until we got to November, where this was November, the first week of November, we were at 8.4, but the last week of November, we were at 7.9% vacancy rate. Let's go to the next one. On this slide, we are just saying that we saw a very gradual decline over the period between April and November, as seen on that graph above. And the sudden reduction in November was largely as a result of the letters written to the managers to fill their vacant posts that were older than 12 months and pointing out consequent management that where managers failed to adhere to this directive. As indicated earlier, that the APP target for the department for 22-23 is set at 8%, and the current trend indicates that it's possible to achieve that. And the department is committed to improving on its vacancy rate and ensuring adherence to the SOPs on recruitment and selection process. Let's go to the next one. Now, this is the age analysis of vacancies up to the 21st of November 2022. This is the entire department. As at November, I will not go through the other months, but you'll see the trends as they are shown there on the screen. As at November, we had 123 positions that are 0 to 3 months. You can see the trends over time, the numbers were going down. But largely it's also after we took out UIF and CF from September, then we started having smaller numbers as opposed to previous months, the 4 months. The 4 to 5 months, we have in November 57 positions. 6 to 12 months for the department, we had 119 positions that were vacant. More than 12 months, we had 144. Which brings the total vacant post to 443 and the rate being 7.95%. Let's go to the next one. And head office, I'll just go to the last month to indicate the age of the positions that are vacant. 0 to 3 months for head office was 14. It's 14. 4 to 5 months, it's 3. 6 to 12 months, it's 20. We've got a majority, which is more than 12 months, which is 32, which brings the total of vacant posts to 69. That's 10.65%. Next slide. KZN did very well because they are at a 4% vacancy rate, with majority being very young, 0 to 3 months, and the minimum or the minority is more than 12 months. So KZN, as I think the DG mentioned, it was yesterday's meeting where the DG mentioned that KZN was the first one that was given the marching orders to make sure that they fill all their positions. So if you look at the 0 to 3 months, it's within a safe zone of filling a position. It means the vacancies that we have there, we still have another 3 months to be tolerant of this vacancy rate in KZN for now until 6 months. So if they can move faster and fill the post, these 24 posts within the 6 months or the 4 months, it will put them in good stead. But the percentage is looking very good at 4%. Let's go to the next one. Western Cape, they've got 0 to 3 months, it's 11. 4 to 5 months, it's 2. 6 to 12 months, it's 21. And more than 12 months, it's 6. They're sitting at 7.46%. I think the majority is also not within a safe zone as such, because we have 21 under 6 to 12 months. So there needs to be some bit of movement here from the Western Cape in ensuring that they don't fall into the zone of more than 12 months vacant positions. And probably the provinces might be able to say whether they've got letters issued for appointments, which we're not yet showing because they don't show on the system, but they will have to, they will maybe give explanations as to where they are in the process in terms of these posts that are 6 to 12 months. And then Eastern Cape, also the same story, they're still within a very safe zone. It shows that there was a lot of movement because the vacant posts are very young, between the period of 0 to 5 months, a total of 25, and then a lesser extent on the more than 12 months, and the 6 to 12 months, it's 7 positions. Their percentage is at 6.04%. Next one is Free State. Free State also has got a bunch within the safe zone of 0 to 3 months and 4 to 5 months. And they've got 3 under 6 to 12 and more than 12 months old. And that percentage is 4.07%. So the next one, Limpopo. Limpopo has got 0 to 3 months, 11. 4 to 5, it's 9. And 6 to 12 months, it's 9 and 9 for more than 12 months. Their percentage rate is at 9.41. I think if they can also push themselves further to be on the safe zone of 0 to 3 and 4 to 5 months, that will be a little bit more acceptable with a 38 total vacant position. Let's go to the next one. Northwest is sitting at 5.67% vacancy rate. They've got 6 positions that are 0 to 3, 4 to 5, it's 3. So in total, the safe zone is 9 positions. And 6 to 12 and 12 more than 12 months, it's 10 positions, which brings them to a total of 19 posts that are vacant. And then Northern Cape, they've got 0 to 5 months. We bring them together, it's 8 positions. And more than 12, it's 13. And 6 to 12, it's 6. I think Northern Cape is the one that suffers the most in terms of not having people that get attracted by the positions in the Northern Cape and, you know, turning them down when the appointments come and those kind of challenges that are pointed out earlier. Let's go to the next one. Gauteng. Gauteng is one of the largest with the number of positions, and the rate is sitting at 10.47%. 0 to 3 months and 4 to 5 months, they're sitting at 34 positions. 6 to 12 months is 31, and more than 12 months, they've got 46. And my understanding with when I spoke to the CDPO about this, he was saying they've got, I think he will explain also, they've got 25 letters of appointment that are going to be sent very soon. They've concluded the entire process, so they're going to issue. So these numbers must go down in the future. Or if they don't go down because of internal promotions, then we should see the age of the positions that are vacant and funded on the top tier, on 0 to 3 months. Go to the next one. Mpumalanga is also doing very well. They are at 6.43% vacancy rate, 0 to 3 months and 4 to 5 months. They are sitting at 13, and 6 to 12, it's 4. More than 12 months, they've got 8 positions. In total, they've got 25. Go to the next one. SCE, they've got more than 12 months positions and the 6 to 12 months positions that are vacant, which brings that to a total of 29, which makes them sit at a percentage of 18.24% on the vacancy rate. I think they also need to move with speed on those. Matapelo, go to the next one. And the UIF is sitting at 7.7%. The majority of the positions are more than 12 months and 0 to 3 months and 4 to 5 comes to 50. And then 6 to 12 months is at 35. And the total is 143. Let's go to the next one. The last one is CF. CF is sitting at a total of 66 for 0 to 3 months, 4 to 5 is 27, 6 to 12 months is 70, more than 12 months is 123, and they're sitting at a percentage of 11.15%. And then we were requested to indicate consequence management on failure to comply with the filling of vacant posts. We pointed out that the DG has issued letters to managers whose funded posts were older than 12 months, and these letters were initiating consequence management processes. Managers were ordered to comply by the end of the quarter three, which is by the end of December. A report will then be compiled indicating those who complied and those who may have failed to do so. It is at that point where the disciplinary action processes will then be escalated. And on the way forward, we're talking about the ESSA, again, that I mentioned somewhere in the body of the presentation, that they will provide us with the needed support and capacity in handling the high volumes of applications, especially at the lower levels. And the process is still underway because there's a discussion between the Public Employment Services Unit and my branch in coming up with an acceptable and watertight and controlled process, which will also be acceptable by the internal audit processes. They'll have to just help us with auditing that process and make sure that it's foolproof and it's also adherent to the DPSA prescripts. And the use of electronic system in the future is being considered, that ICT should assist us with the electronic system to eliminate this manual capturing of applications for other positions. And the other way forward is that as soon as posts are going to be vacated, especially where we know that a person is resigning or retiring, because retirement, we normally get notified 3 months. The system will notify us 3 months before the retirement period, or 6 months, something like that. Then we should be able to start the process at the right time, so that by the time the person retires, because especially for retirement, you're 65 years old, then it's easier for us to then start the process without fail, because we know that definitely the person is going to retire. But with an option like resigning or retiring at age 60 or somewhere there, then we even when we get the notice, we should be able to start the recruitment and selection process immediately. And we are currently at one of the meetings that we had, I think it was the strategic planning session or the one of the extended DESCOMs. We agreed as a department that we need to conduct an analysis on the reasons and impediments to filling vacant posts. And the report is being concluded, and by the first week of December, we should be able to share the report at one of the governance structures. I'm not sure if DG gives permission. We can also share the report maybe with the portfolio committee. And we are saying that as a department, we continue to closely monitor the filling of the vacant funded positions and report at all the governance forums. Thank you so much, Chair. I think that was the last slide. Thanks so much for that opportunity.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, ma'am. Is there anything, DG, that you'd like to add before I allow members to ask questions?
Chair, thanks. No, we'll take questions, Chair.
Okay. Honourable members, there is the presentation. And now I'll hand over to you to ask questions. Any taker? I see it's Honorable Ngobo, Honorable Mkhonto. For now, over to you, Honorable Ngobo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, and thank you very much for the presentation. Honorable Chair, my biggest worry was in connection with the funded vacant posts, which last for a period of about 12 months. That one is shocking because we have that post because there is work to be done. My biggest question was why did it take some time for consequence management to be instituted immediately? Because I mean, you don't have to be told that there is a problem in such a case. My biggest one is the case of a person who is going to be retiring or resigning, but in particular to be retiring. Why would there be any mercy or tolerance for a person, a manager who does not initiate the filling of a post when he knew 3 months beforehand that the post was going to be vacant? Why should we have that tolerance at all, Chairperson? Let me just stop with these two, because towards the end, most of the questions I had got responded to when the president was making was winding up. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Ngcobo. Honourable Mkhonto.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning to you, Chair, Honourable Members, the DG and officials. Chair, I will first welcome the presentation, but it's very worrisome because what we are told today, I have comments, Chair, mostly. What we are presented today, Chair, is a display of incompetence. And I was not expecting the department to workshop us on the prescripts of DPSA in as far as human resource management is concerned. I was expecting that we'll be told the last part of the presentation, how many posts are vacant, the age of the posts, and the remedial actions. And how is this going to be prevented that it doesn't happen in the future? And from now going forth, all the vacant positions, either 3 months, 6 months, or more than 12 months, what is the date? When are they going to be filled? That is what I was expecting, Chair. And is my question now. When can we be given a date of filling all the vacant posts and dealing with all the difficulties that we have been experiencing as a department? It's a matter of urgency, Chair. As you said, this department must be exemplar. We can't have a Department of Employment and Labour leading in a vacancy rate. It's just not on. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhonto. I don't see any other hands. Can you mute yourselves, Honorable Members? Your mics are on, Honorable Ngcobo and Honorable Mkhonto. From my side, DG, I'm more worried about, first, I just want to check, will I be
living in my own world, if I would say, I would have expected that this department is leading by example in ensuring that there are no vacant posts. That's number one. Number two, I would appreciate, in particular, Gauteng, to just explain, if you can go to that slide, because I'm using the same gadget, to just explain to us how do they think that they will be able to render services when they have, if that presentation, Zolani, if you can just put it back, the one that that if Gauteng has got more than 111 vacant posts. I'm trying to go to my phone and open this presentation. Can the head of Gauteng make us to understand if he or she is here, can he make us to understand why that number? And the second one is for Northern Cape. Yes, I would imagine because of their geographic what is this? How it is geographically being in terms of that people would rather not would find it difficult, or they won't be interested because of its geographic spread in terms of maybe where offices are in terms of district. But is it really difficult to get people from local? Are they not allowed to headhunt DG to get people from within Northern Cape who will understand? I'll make an example. If I will get a post in Northern Cape, I'll be frustrated if I must be told to go to Upington. I'm making an example. Because of how it's geography, it's weather and whatever, but people from that province will be one, are people that will really understand. So for Northern Cape, for me, is the question that if they can reflect, is it that much? Sorry, in terms of their recruitment, is it difficult to recruit within the province? I would have loved to get that presentation back on the screen, DG, because I'm really interested in what is this, in Gauteng, to explain to us. To explain to us why that number? More than 12 months? Aibo. Yes. They have 6 to 12 months, 31 vacant funded posts. More than 12 months, 46. Can that be explained to us? How then? If they have logged in, did she? I haven't seen other hands, so those are the questions for now.
Chair, the Gauteng has locked on. Mr. Tshepo Mokomatsidi is on the platform. Mr. Mokomatsidi, over to you. Followed by Mr. Zolile Albani.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I don't know whether should I show my face because the...
Yes, we would like to see your face. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. Mainly the reason why we have such a huge number. Firstly, is that Gauteng being one of the biggest population in terms of the number of population, we usually attract a lot of applications when we advertise posts. And also, you will recall that during COVID, we had to introduce measures to keep officials safe from being infected by the virus. So one of the things that we then did was that we then allowed staff members to work on a rotational basis. Unfortunately, the majority of officials in HRM who would usually work on a rotational basis would not normally have the tools of trade. So which means that when they are not at work, it means that necessarily there will not necessarily be any production, and we had hoped that laptops will be delivered on time. Unfortunately, that could not happen due to reasons of supply and demand and so on. But generally, on average, Chair, the number of applications that we receive for each application when we advertise, it's between 900 and 2,500 applications per post that we receive, which means that it will generally take longer for us to be able to capture the applications. But what we then did was that once the restrictions began to be relaxed, we mobilized our officials who are sitting at labor centers, who are referred to as a management support services staff, to help HRM officials to be able to capture all those applications that were older than 12 months. And we managed to capture the majority of those or the bulk applications by June. And then from June, we started the process to do the shortlisting and to start conducting interviews. As you can see in terms of the numbers there, if you can see from May, our total vacant post was 209, and when you look at compare that to 211 in now in November, it implies that we took serious efforts to try and reduce this vacancy rate. We even went to an extent of even conducting interviews where possible on Saturdays and Sundays so that we're able to accommodate as many interviews as possible. As things stand now, Chair, we've got about 28 appointment letters that we have issued to candidates who were successful in interviews. The expectation is that the majority of these officials are expected to start between December and January next year. So obviously, once they start, their information will be captured on the personal system, which will then obviously change the vacancy status. We have also conducted interviews for 29 posts as at the end of last week. So what we will be doing now, we have agreed with management that those colleagues who are supposed to prepare submissions can work overtime for the coming 2 weeks, so that by the middle of December, would have made appointments, so that we then issue letters of appointment, so that whoever gets to be appointed can then start to work around February. And we have also scheduled interviews, about 60 of them, for 60 posts. We have also said that should not go beyond the second week of December, so that we make a dent on the vacancy that we have. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Who is the
Northern Cape, Mr. Zolile Albani.
Good day, Chair. Thank you so much, Chairperson. I'm trying to put on the video. I'm using my phone. I battled with the logging on with my laptop. So I just hope you'll be able to see my face.
Okay.
Am I there?
Yes, but yeah, it's fine. You can switch it off. We see you because it's a bit dark.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps let me start off, Chair, with the issue that you raised regarding the high turnover rate that we're experiencing as a province and our inability to retain officials within the province. I think in terms of our own analysis, the reasons are historical. Because when we looked at broadly, we then came to the conclusion that one of the reasons that has contributed to such is the fact that as a province, we did not have an institution of higher learning. As a result, we were competing with other provinces in that even students from Northern Cape who go out and study outside of the province, they would rather settle in those provinces as opposed to them coming home. But with the establishment of the Supply Chain University, we monitoring developments in that regard. We've also had engagements with them specifically when it comes to inspection and enforcement services, because that's one area that we battling. Because with your entry level, where, for instance, the requirements is a matric and no experience, we're able to fill those posts. But the challenge is when we move up from, say, level 7 upwards, where the requirement is a post-matric qualification, that is where we normally experience problems in terms of our recruitment. Just to give you an example, Chair, LAP, Labor Activation Program, is one of the key projects of the department. And in each province, we have established, in terms of the establishment, we have one DD, or Deputy Director, and two assistant directors to run LAP. Now, in our situation, and unfortunately, it would not reflect as such in the report, in that if you look at the deputy director position, it will show that it's been vacant for more than 12 months. And it's not that nothing has been happening, in that the post has not been advertised. It has been advertised on 3 occasions, Chair. The last time, at least, we managed to get candidates who presented themselves at the interview. The only issue that came out of that process was that there was a dispute lodged, but fortunately the dispute has now been resolved, or in fact investigated. We are awaiting the report. So hopefully after that matter has been resolved, we'll be in a position to make an appointment for the deputy director. With the assistant director, we were only able to make one appointment. So what it means is that the other post has to be re-advertised. We certainly considering the option what is the term now again? It just lost me now.
Headhunting.
Yes. Sorry. Thank you for that. We doing that, Chair, with liaised with the National Youth Development Agency, we've liaised with CEDA, we checked all these organizations whose mandate falls within the scope of LAP. So we're hoping that with the next round of advert, will then be able to fill the other post of the Labor Assistant Director, Labor Activation Program. And Chair, also as the DDG presented earlier, she indicated that this process, recruitment and selection, is primarily driven by HRM. So what it then says is that within HRM, you need to have the required competencies and capacity. And this issue of retention and high turnover rate has also affected that very same unit that is supposed to drive recruitment and selection in the province. In that, as we speak, we don't have a deputy director, HR. We don't have an assistant director, HR. The chief personnel will be taking up a senior post in Free State as of tomorrow, the 1st of December. So the most senior person, except for the person who's acting as DD, will be a level 7. So those are some of the challenges here, but we're doing everything that we can. And I can assure you that in the report that will be presented to you after the personal report has been updated, you'll certainly see that there's been movement in terms of the filling of posts, of the number, just people who are serving notice, who are already issued with appointment letters, who are serving notice, there's 11 of them. And given our numbers, that will significantly reduce the current percentage that is standing at 11. But for now, Chair, yes, even with HR, we have agreed that managers from the labor centers, they need to come to the provincial office, because we are also taking into account the fact that if you were to dispatch HR to assist a labor center, it will take them 3 days. In that the one day is for traveling to Springbok or Upington, the next day they do the work, and the next day they travel back. So we've then taken a decision that in order to fully utilize the limited capacity that we have within HR, is that everything will then be centralized in the provincial office, in that all the panel members will then conduct their business in the provincial office. And as a result, we're able to conclude the recruitment and selection processes on a number of positions. And I'm quite confident the picture that you see now will be completely different from the one that you will see, say, in January, once most of them have started. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, thank you very much. The questions raised by, firstly by yourself, and also by Honorable Ngcobo and Honorable Mkhonto, they are correct, Chair. The department is expected to lead by example. And I want to agree with Honorable Mkhonto that the picture that we're painting is a picture that really displays some level of incompetence from our side. The responsibility to manage resources rests with each and every manager. The importance of that resource cannot be overemphasized. So when there's a vacancy, it's your responsibility as a manager to fill that vacancy. And yes, Honorable Ngcobo, I think we have been, our level of tolerance has been very high with regards to allowing people to not to fill vacancies. And I think we have now decided that our level of tolerance has been tested to the limit, and that's why we're now acting. We will not tolerate a situation where vacancies are not filled, because it is myself and the CFO who go to National Treasury and plead for funds. So it's unacceptable that we have not filled this post. I don't want to sit here and make excuses. and why we have not filled those posts. We should have filled them because we indicated that they are very important. and it's one of the important exercises that we're doing that exposes our colleagues in provinces to the kind of questions that the portfolio committee is asking and the kind of responsibility that is expected from each and every manager in the department. So, Chair, I want to indicate that with the steps that we've already taken, we will not apply breaks. We'll continue with the steps that we're taking to make sure that all posts are filled. And as the DDG indicated in the presentation, that December was the last month that we gave to all provinces to fill vacancies. So I'm looking forward to that, to get that report at the end of December and see how the picture looks so that we can then take further steps to address the situation. It is indeed unacceptable. And on behalf of the Minister and the Deputy Minister, I would like to apologize, Chair, to you and the members of the committee for our department not leading by example. We should be leading by example. Thank you very much, Chair.
I don't see any hands. I just want to, just as we will, really, when we are going to release you, to say DG and to managers in particular of provinces, that we are going to monitor the situation. In fact, we are going to issue a directive that when we are coming back in 2023, the first reports that we will be, should I say, demanding from the department are this. It's around this. I am finding it very strange. I'm seated here. I am finding it very strange for managers not to see to it that funded. Because that's what is haunting me. It's not that these posts are unfunded. These are funded posts, which means there is money. Why are you relaxed? Is it because you are working? When it is being said by StatsA about the level of unemployment in this country, how do you feel when you know that the department that is to ensure that all departments for status are the vacant post levels are very low, and I don't think this is acceptable. And DG, when you come back, we must also, you will have to break down these posts in terms of levels. Because there are levels that I don't think they are even supposed to be a challenge. Level one, level two, all those levels that are not, don't need. It was said, the president of the country did say, that there will be those posts that experience is not. So I didn't expect that we will have challenges on those. Why? Is it because you people are working? No wonder we have got people are complaining members have always been complaining about long queues, service delivery in the Department of Employment and Labor. And for crying out aloud, they are funded posts that are not filled. Why do you have to take long? Is it because your panels are making it difficult? We will have to be explained if there may be the challenges within the panel. And when we come back next year, we would like to see a different picture. And so that when we are to challenge other departments, we are challenging other departments, knowing very well that this department, because we are expected to conduct an oversight on departments and to check the vacancy rate in all government departments and be told what is the reason. But we're unable to do that. We're seriously unable to do that. I would have thought that we'll also ask why we have got a high number of funded post-DG in compensation fund, if I'm not mistaken. Why? So it really means that it's business as usual in the Department of Employment and Labor, DG. I agree with Honorable Ngcobo that you have. I agree with him in terms of you people as leadership of being of being soft. And in fact, even ourselves, we must also take responsibility of waking up very late in making you to account why the level of vacant post in this department and its entities are so high. So we want to say to heads of departments that are here, it's not the end, but it's the beginning of ensuring that we are to see a change. This situation is unacceptable. On behalf of the committee, we will take the apology, DG. But next, first quarter next year, we are to expect, because then if the situation is not changing, heads of provinces are to take responsibility. And we would like to know from the executive authority and yourself, they will have to account why the situation is like this. So we think when we really come back, we will see a change. Having said that, thank you very much. And even in the next meeting, in fact, in all our meetings now, heads of department or heads of provinces are to log in. They are to respond on some of the issues, like commissioners of UIF and compensation fund are responding on issues that we are raising. So the issue of vacant posts is going to be a priority as we move forward, among other things in this department. I think thank you very much. We will, when we come back, I hope you have noted, DJ, that, and they have also noted that we want a breakdown when you come back. We don't want a, we want breakdown of all the levels, so that we really understand what exactly is the challenge. Having said that, thank you very much. We will release you because we'll be dealing with our in-house agenda item. But thank you very much, provinces, for respecting and accepting the invitation. And you must know now, as we move forward, it's going to be a norm. As we move forward, it's going to be a norm, so that we really have to understand the situation. As much as we do conduct our oversight in provinces, but this is also another form of conducting an oversight to a department, of having presentations and the DG and you people, and including the minister, to respond on the issues and questions that will be are then being raised by the. So it then means there's going to be a serious wake up call and shaking up in the department in terms of the work that is being being done by this department, led by the minister and the DG and yourselves, because you are where offices are, you are where things are, where people are having challenges. So you'll have to shake up and wake up. Thank you very much. You are then released. Until we meet again, it's only members that are then going to be to members as we'll be dealing with our minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members.
Mr. Sakaza, as they are preparing to, as they are leaving, can you please flout the minutes.
Yes, Chair, I am flighting the 28th of September now. Is it visible on the screen, Chair?
Not yet, yes. 28th September.
Yes, September.
Yes. Response by the Department of Employment and Labour on issues raised by the AG and SCOPA. Okay. There is the attendance register. Okay, any comments on two? Is there any comments or any corrections, in fact, because these are our minutes, that's page two. Page three. Two compensation fund.
Thank you. Any corrections, additions? If there are none, can we get a formal mover of our minutes of the 28th of September? Any mover? Aibu.
Honorable Chairperson. Honorable S.L. Ngobo, wish to formally move that the minutes as have been flighted be formally adopted as a true record of what transpired that day.
Thank you. Can we get a seconder?
Chair, is Volmaran? Yes. I hereby second Honorable Ngowa as far as the adoption of the minutes is concerned, Chair.
Thank you. The second set, Mr. Sakaza.
Is it visible, Chair?
Not the yet.
The 9th of November.
Presentation on the response on the of the Department and Labor to a proposal for fair remuneration. There is the attendance. Can we go up? Okay. All right. Thank you. Are there any additions or corrections? If none, can we get a formal mover? Can we get a mover? Yes, Honorable Volmaran.
Chair, I hereby move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what transpired during the meeting, Chair.
Thank you. Can we get a seconder? Unfortunately, I can't second.
It's Honorable Ngobo, Chair.
Oh, thank you, Honorable Ngobo.
Honorable Chairperson, I wish to second the motion by Honorable Volmarans that we accept this as the true reflection of what happened in the last meeting. I'm forgetting the date, Chairperson, unfortunately.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I get a
16 November, Chair?
Yes, 16 November. Consideration and adoption of minutes of the 7, 14, 12, 9, 25th of October and the 2nd of end of November.
Thank you. Can we get a mover? Can we get a formal mover? Are we still here? Members, so it means it is sets of minutes of the
16th November.
Of the 16th. We will set them aside because they are not have not been moved. Sakaza?
Yes, Chair. It means I cannot second, I cannot move for the adoption in the light of not having been there, Chair?
Yes, you can't because you're not present.
Yes.
All right, we will we'll set them aside for the next round. All right, Mr. Sakaza.
Right, Chair. Can I take them off, Chair?
Yes, take them off. Kilinde wena Zulani.
Yes, Chair, that was the last set for today.
The last set for today.
Yes, Chair.
So thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members. We will then, I hope we'll note the dates of the minutes that we didn't adopt, which we'll then adopt in the next round when we will be adopting minutes. Having said that, I think we've come to the end of our meeting. Until we meet again, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.